What?
It's 2024, bro. What happened? What happened?
Some Dude Pod 189. Rate, like, subscribe, download. Barbershop Network is the home. Get your merch. Yeah, man, I kicked my New Year's morning off at Bolingbrook Hospital.
It never fails. Bang, we have to do better.
Back spasms.
We just
back spasm. Can't
do. Do we need to skip straight to 2025?
No. No. Look. Back spasms kicked my ass.
Okay.
I actually have been having spasms for about a week. I didn't know if they were spasms or, you know, the other shit. Yesterday, I kicked my leg up trying to get out the bed. Sharp ass pain shot through my shit. Shit hurt. Time to go to the emergency room. Me, plus the doctor said if I felt anything similar to what I did, you know, when I went and had to have the extended stay, it was like, yeah, just go. So I went, you know, and luckily all of those issues are gone. Didn't have anything, didn't have a cyst on my kidney, you know, didn't have any issues with the urine, stuff like that. I was good.
Okay.
So it just turns out to be structural and muscular. Back spasms.
Did the doctor subscribe you some muscle relaxers?
Yes. So Miriam just got the muscle relaxers. I didn't take them yesterday, but I did take, was that an 800 milligram ibuprofen?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'll do it. I
took that shit at 2:30. At 3:30, I knocked out. Didn't wake up till 9:30, Mike.
You missed everything yesterday.
Oh, I missed everything.
You missed everything. Yesterday was lit.
Yes, Mike. I woke up.
Yeah.
And just was like, what the fuck time is it? And looked at the time on my phone. It was like 9:30. And Miriam on the other side of the bed just looking like, yeah, you needed the rest. Like, no. No. I wanted to watch Michigan and Alabama.
Missed it.
Missed that. Missed damn near all of Texas and Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up, The Rock was on TV with Jinder Mahal. Like, literally. Mike, let me say, so you don't understand.
Yeah.
Because it was like 9:30-ish when The Rock. And I woke up to your Facebook post.
Okay.
In the first Black chat group.
Uh-huh.
Jinder Mahal. And I was like,
yeah, because Triple H said we was going to get a former WWE champion. And it's so crazy because me and my wife was watching it and we were all saying we waiting, you know. And I'm like, everybody was salty. Everybody was salty, bro.
I woke up and I was like,
yeah.
Jinder Mahal?
What
the fuck are you talking about? It's 9:30. What?
Why are we being entertained by the Maharaja?
Right. Woke up, hurried up, and got my iPad.
Yeah.
Turned it because Miriam was watching TV. I didn't want to interrupt her Korean soap opera experience.
I turned the TV when Tasha watched the TV.
She
get mad. She hates me for that. But go ahead, proceed. That's an old other conversation for a whole other pod.
I didn't want to interrupt her viewing, so I went ahead and got my iPad out, and I was like, oh, okay. And then, you know, as The Rock is talking, I'm like, oh, yeah, he about to say head of the table. Tell him he's talking about he going to go get something to eat.
Yeah, he.
I'm like, he about to say.
We knew that was coming.
And that was coming.
Yeah.
And then I was like, damn. And she was like, man, you going to be up all night now. And I was like, no, I'm not, because I'm still sleepy. Like, when you needed to sleep, you haven't been really getting no sleep. I was like, no, I would have made it. It was the drugs, Mike. Yeah. It was the drugs. And that's why I don't like taking pain pills like that. Because, like, especially something like the 800s, because them joints knocked me out. And that man, that damn, I ain't never taken a nap that well. No. The last time I took a nap that long, I was like 11 to 12 years old, fam.
Really?
I was sick. Yeah, let me tell you this shit. I told Miriam this story, and Miriam looked at me like, "Nah, you lying." I'm like, "Nah, I'm not." Tell you how your parents do you. So I was sick, and I couldn't make it to school. And my mom was like, "Oh, you sick, huh?" I was like, "Yeah, like, not trying to miss school. I'm sick." So my mom, and I think every black kid has probably dealt with this in some way, shape, or form. But we didn't have no Vicks or no orange juice or no NyQuil or nothing in the crib.
Yeah.
So my mama made me go to the store while I was sick. Made me go to the store, get some NyQuil, Vicks, and some Sunny D while I was sick as hell. So I walked from Lockwood and Hirsch to Lockwood and North Avenue to get that in the cold, sick as hell. Came back, got some NyQuil, Vicks on my chest, some Sunny D, went to sleep, woke up, and my cousins are at the edge of the bed playing the damn game. It's a school day. So I'm like, what the hell y'all doing over here, fam? Like, how did y'all get here? I was asleep. And why y'all playing my game? Didn't let me know. Like, man, your ass was asleep. Shit, what was I supposed to do, wake you up? Said you was sick. You right, but still.
Yeah.
That's the longest, because that was at like 9, 10 o'clock to like 2:30, 3 o'clock. I try not to sleep that long. Yeah. Not necessarily a fear of missing out, but you know, even though I was off, what if some breaking news happens? I got to rally the troops and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But 3:30 to 9:30, I was gone.
Yeah.
It's and that was after spending, 3-4 hours in the ER by my back.
Yeah. PTO bang kicking off the new year with a bang.
That wasn't even PTO. that wasn't even PTO bang. That was just day off bang. That was holiday bang.
Yeah.
Spending his New Year's in the ER. Now, the funny thing was, is, you know, it's New Year's, so you want to set that bad boy off right.
Yeah.
I did. In pain. Hey, man. One thing y'all going to learn about Bang is he know how to play through pain. All right? Look, play through pain.
I didn't see it.
Like,
I didn't see it live. I know how you get down, Bang. So it don't, it's not shocking to me,
you ain't see me live, man.
Oh, when you say play through pain, I mean as far as like I've seen you pod with COVID.
Okay.
Like that.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You know what I'm saying? I've seen it, you know, so I know.
I was Larry Johnson.
Yeah, for sure.
With the 30-point game with the back issues. Yeah,
there you go.
It's going to stop my show, fam.
Yeah.
Next day, I was like, like, once I take this pain pill, you know, we can. I'm like, you sure? I didn't know I was going to wake up at 9:30. You know, but hey, man, I'm going to play through pain. Have you ever had to play through pain, Mike?
I mean, recently, you know, like speaking of back spasms, I just recently had some back pain maybe like a few weeks ago. And I had the bowl and I was hurting and it hurts. Back pain is for real.
Talking about bowling, nigga.
What are you talking about, Bang? Are you talking about like, Yeah, I've done that too. Oh, yeah, no doubt. You ever been in pain and caught a Charlie horse at the same time?
Yeah. Oh, man. Nigga, I heard some shit pop. She heard it too.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah, I did that.
She heard it too. She's like, wait a minute.
Hold on. You good? You straight?
Nah, we gotta switch this up. We gonna finish. We not stopping this show.
Most definitely. I definitely done that. I got the arthritis in the ankle, so that just flares anytime. No bullshit. Look at y'all. You laughing? But I dead ass. I got arthritis in my ankle. So, you know, during like softball season, you know, during the summertime. Yeah. Oh, the hamstring. You remember the hamstring injury?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I know all about that. No, yeah, for sure. AD, bro.
Hey, man.
So, I told you I have the utmost respect for any athlete that ever pulled a hamstring because I know what that pain feel like. But yeah, I'd have had to play fellas, through that pain, man. Too.
Yeah, fellas. Think this very underrated for us, man. Sometimes we got to play through pain.
For sure.
But the victory is sweet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But getting there sometimes just...
Look, it's
you have to do what you need to do.
For sure.
To achieve greatness.
There you go.
Speak and sometimes you just got to play through the pain.
Yeah.
In order to be victorious.
To be victorious. Yeah. Forgive me for not being on the same page with you at first. I was like, wait,
it's okay.
But I'm with you.
It's okay. And just hearing you said that you had the hamstring issue and you had to play through pain with the hamstring. I know, because that shit close to your groin.
Oh, yeah. That's real life.
You know, one twin, just like, ah.
It's over for you.
Yeah. It's over for you. So, what's up, Landon?
I got two muffins.
You got two muffins? All right, close the door.
Shout out to Landon.
Landon had two muffins. I'm glad he wasn't there for the playthrough playing.
Yeah.
He don't know.
He don't know.
But yeah, that playing through pain, man, is very underrated. But yeah, man, I spent part of my day in the ER, man. How you spend your New Year's? Did you have some black eyed peas?
You know what? My mother-in-law made black eyed peas, but I didn't eat none, though. I gotta see what's up with that. I asked her, too. I was like, you gonna make black eyed peas? And she said, yeah. I was like, I didn't even get none. Is it too late to eat the black eyed peas? Or I can still
eat
them?
Man, it's too late. Yeah,
it's too late now? I had to eat them
so
on New Year's Day?
Yeah.
Damn.
So you don't know any, like, New Year's superstition?
That's the only one I'm aware of, G. Like, I don't know anything else. Like, what are the other New Year's like superstitions that people do like to hope they have good luck for that year? I don't know.
I know one of them is black eyed peas.
I know that one.
Yeah, hold on. I'm a look this up.
Yeah, I'm not.
I was
not aware. Black eyed peas is the only one.
Yeah, it's like money in your pocket.
like
you wanna
have money in your pocket when the ball drops.
Yes, like you have to have like actual money in your pocket.
Okay.
Because
I believe in certain superstitions. Like I'm not super superstitions like that, but you know, certain ones I'll follow suit on some. You know, money in your pocket. Right. So I gotta sleep in some shorts and just have like a dollar or two in my pocket.
Apparently.
Okay. All right.
Apparently, I don't know.
Right now. I'll make a note of that.
I know one of them is the big one I noticed in black families is black eyed peas.
Mm-hmm.
But here goes some right here. Kissing at midnight.
Look, I can't do that because I would sleep at 10. 10 o'clock. I didn't make it to midnight. The past two New Years, I have not made it to midnight, bro. What's the next one?
One. You know, outside of what we know, what we talked about with black eyed peas, eating 12 grapes at midnight will bring you prosperity for each month of the new year. Spain and some Latin American countries don't think that. So
see, I would do that. I like grapes. I like grapes.
Okay. Yeah.
I would do that.
Here's one that's popular in Brazil and Argentina. Wearing red underwear will bring good luck and love.
I'll make a note of that as well. All right, cool. Mm-hmm.
Making noise at midnight is believed to ward off evil spirits and bring a good luck in the new year.
All right, so I'll probably be snoring. So that's noise, correct?
Yeah.
There we go.
opening all doors and windows. In some cultures, they believe that opening all doors and windows at midnight on New Year's Eve will let go of any negative energy from the previous year and welcome positive energy for the new year.
Okay.
Breaking dishes in Denmark is a tradition to save old dishes throughout the year and smash them against your friends' doors on New Year's as a sign of friendship and good luck for the incoming year. Now,
yeah,
that one right there.
We're not going to go that far.
Nah, we're not going to do that. Like, imagine just going over one of your homies' house with some dishes and just start breaking them shits.
Like, man, what the fuck is you doing? Like, that's... yeah, we not...
New Year's, fam.
We keep that one.
Hey, trying to wish you luck. B?
Nah, fam.
We ain't doing that. Cleaning your home. Many people believe that cleaning your home before New Year's Day will help get rid of any bad energy from the previous year and make room for positive energy in the new year.
All right. Throw on that R&B. Yeah, clean you out. Okay.
Yep. Carrying money. Some people believe that carrying money with you at midnight on New Year's Eve will ensure financial abundance.
All right.
In the new year. Avoiding laundry. In some cultures, they believe that doing laundry on New Year's Day will wash away any good luck for the incoming year.
All right. So don't do laundry on New Year's.
Black eyed peas for good luck and wealth and prosperity. Writing down wishes in Brazil is common belief that writing down your wishes for the new year on a piece of paper and keeping it with you throughout the night will make the dreams come true. I like that. Pork is a popular food to eat on New Year's, and in many countries, including Cuba, Spain, and Portugal, pigs are seen as symbols of progress and prosperity because they push forward with their snots.
I did that. Wife cooked and bacon.
Muslims will hate you.
Wife cooked bacon.
Muslims will be like, man, what the fuck, man? We ain't doing that shit. The last one I seen in living where I live at, I don't know if they were fireworks or gunshots. But watching fireworks apparently on New Year's Eve is popular, but they believe it's a reason for that. They believe that loud noises and bright lights scare away evil spirits and bring good luck for the year. Gosh. So it's not just fun to celebrate. Fireworks or watching fireworks is like, hey, bad spirits, leave us alone. Nah. Mm-hmm. Here's another one. Eating long noodles. Pause. Oh. In some Asian cultures, eating long noodles on New Year's Eve symbolizes longevity, and it's believed to bring a long life in the new year. It's important not to break. It's important not to break or chew the noodles while eating them, as this may symbolize cutting one's life short. So what the hell that mean? So you gotta like.
So you can't chew your noodles.
Can't chew your noodles for New Year's.
Just gotta straight just
in the Asian community. You just gotta.
It's too much work.
That's just like was that Lady and the Tramp?
Yeah, Lady and the Tramp.
They was eating the spaghetti and then you know they end up kissing.
They met at the middle of the noodle. Yeah, that's too much work.
Right, so imagine you eating some ramen noodles and you're like, oh, that was a long ass noodle.
Yeah, that
and
was
you with your homie. Imagine you do that shit, you with your homies, your friend, your homie. Like,
bro, what are you doing? Yeah, don't
what you doing, friend? Don't do that. Do you have any traditions that you do for New Year?
Like, not really, bro. Like, honestly, the past maybe 5 years, dog, the tradition is very like just in the bed chilling, you know what I'm saying, wake up the next morning and just enjoy the day off, man. Never nothing, not anything, haven't done anything, you know, specifically, you know, but that's just us, that's just my family. We don't do anything like, you know, no Lady and the Tramp type stuff, you know, but I will take note of a few of those things, keeping money in your pocket, you know, red underwear. You know, I do that, you know. Hey, that's a couple things I'll keep in mind. Grapes, 12 grapes. I love grapes. I have no problem with that. You want me to eat 12 grapes at New Year's?
Just had 12 grapes. It's like,
yeah, just chilling on the side. A little snack, you know.
Niggas looking at
hey, bro. Good luck, bro.
Look it up, man. What are some, like, do you have any goals for the new year,
man? Yeah, man. Continue to build up some dude pod. Get my money right, of course. You know what I'm saying? Wait till I get my money right. Like, yay and
Jesus. Financially fit. Financially fit.
You know what? I do want to knock off some weight, though, bro. Like, you know, just a couple pounds off the beer belly would do. I do want to try to eat healthier, bro, because I feel like I've been sluggish. Like, I feel like my eating has me feeling sluggish a lot. I feel like if I eat better, bro, I have more energy. So I know I need to look more into eating better, you know, just the main shit, you know what I'm saying? But definitely want to knock off a few pounds off the beer belly. That's kind of, you know, a thing that I really want to look into, man. Like, just to get some walking in, you know, try to fit that in to my schedule once the weather breaks and stuff.
Okay.
But other than that, nothing like this. Just get right, bro, you know? Just get right, man. Say, man.
Yeah, you know, mentally, I want to get right. This has definitely been a trying year.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely will say that 2023 was. So I definitely plan to get right mentally. You know, definitely saw or learned some things. I've learned some things since I've been in therapy. That's been very interesting to learn some shit. You know, one of the things I say, you know, one of the things is, it's like, I've never been a relationship person, right?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have the high school sweetheart. Like, I had women that I liked, but I ain't never had like the, you know how people, you know, get the girlfriend at the high school sweetheart. Like I told you, I said on this pod, you know, when I was going to East, my junior year. When y'all had the, you know, on Valentine's Day, when y'all could go to the little store and buy flowers and balloon for your boo. Mm-hmm. I was the nigga in class like, man, you ain't even gonna be fucking with Shorty by next week, man.
Mm-hmm.
Why is you doing all this shit?
Yeah.
Y'all lame, this shit lame as hell, fam. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't trying to. And I had girls that I could have gave a balloon and flower to. I just wasn't doing that shit.
Yeah.
But I found out from my therapist that part of the reason why I was probably like that, because, you know, I wasn't necessarily like good with my parents' relationship. Now, I didn't, you know, love my parents, and they still together to this day. It was just like, that wasn't what I wanted.
Yeah.
And I did everything I could to avoid that. So, you know, that caused me not to be vulnerable about certain things. And it also caused a lack of relationships because of, you know, it's only really two parents, like sets of parents, which is my father and my mother and my uncle and auntie.
Yeah.
Like, those are really the two sets of people that have been married. Like, everybody else that I grew up with, my single parents, shit, they looked at my parents or my cousin's parents as their mother and father in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nothing against the relationships, though. It just was not. I didn't think that that's what I wanted. And it's like, yo, this is what a relationship looks like. I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't do it.
Yeah.
And no, I was in one, like, and that's messed up by saying that. That just shows you how much I was out here wilding. But like, I was in one like true relationship when I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
That I guess you could consider her my first love.
We kind of got a similar like love life, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I did not date during high school. G. Like,
yeah,
I didn't have
all that shit.
I didn't have no, I didn't, you know what? I had a relationship in eighth grade. Like, I had a relationship with a girl, if you want to call it that. And yeah, going into freshman year. I was like, well, I don't think we technically broke up. So I thought going into high school, I thought we were still together, but I guess we ended up not being together and we never really talked about it. So it was like, all right, we're not together no more. And I actually finally got into my first like real relationship when I was like 19, bro. So that's crazy.
Yeah, I was 19.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she started messing up in school because she was going to Arizona State at the time. She had moved with Arizona State. And I was like, man, if you fucking up in school, no, I can't have that.
Yeah,
you're gonna be something in life. Mm-hmm. It's over. She's like, wait a minute, what? We breaking up like this?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't get into another real relationship until I was 29, 10 years. Mm-hmm. But what I would do, what I learned is what I would do is that I would hang on to my homies' relationships and get the goodness of that.
Yeah.
But then when it was time for me to have relations, I just go to the other chick. So I was like, I was over here being the third wheel. But then when it was time for me to spin a wheel, I would go to the other chicks. Yeah. And the thing is, I don't, like the majority of the women that I mess with, I didn't have a bad relationship. Like, mm-hmm. we wasn't like angry. They weren't like angry. I let them know what it was. Like, yo, you know, but we wasn't like, it was intense.
Right.
And that was probably some of the issues that they had with me. Cause it's like, yo, you could be a good boyfriend for me. Why y'all want to be with me? Like, ah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I'm straight. And a lot of those women were good women.
They had relationship anxiety like, oh. early, huh?
From my parents. Yeah. Bam. My therapist heard me say this shit. Like, well, she heard me express, like, when she asked, like, what are your relationships? No, like, yeah, this is what it is. A lot of times it was with older women, you know, that knew what they were looking for. It's like, yo, get in, get out, you know. Oh, word, you mean tell me get in, get out? This is awesome.
Yeah.
I know what it is coming in. And even some of them, like, caught feelings. He was like, but. Yeah, like really talking to her, she was just like, yo, you really had an issue with relationships. Uh-huh. And you were doing your best to avoid them. And that was a reason. Mm-hmm. When she told me the reason, when she broke it down to me,
yeah,
I was like, wow. I did not. I'm quite honest. You really think it from a player perspective. I'm out here trying to get what I could get. I ain't realizing for me, it was more or less me avoiding things.
Right.
And I didn't realize like it was that.
Mm-hmm.
It was for me trying to think I'm really like, yo, I'm trying to have fun out here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the crazy thing about therapy and why ever since I've been gone, I'm like, yo, I really just want to find out more.
Yeah.
Because I'm learning a bit more and more about myself as I go.
Do you have a time frame on like how long you want to do therapy, or do they tell you how long?
That is indefinite right now.
It's just like, it's just, you just go when
as long as you want to.
Okay.
But this is indefinite for me.
Okay.
Like, this is indefinite.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there'd be a budget aside for this shit.
Has your therapist like, have you gotten to like a point in therapy where the therapist kind of like try to like ask you to invite Miriam in, like to sit in?
Nah.
Is that not an option?
I mean, it could possibly be down the line, but my issues are not with my wife.
Right, right, right.
This is more, no, just family shit.
Okay.
And trying to break some stuff.
Yeah.
You know, admittedly, it was a lot of crazy shit that happened, you know, towards the end of the year that I think I've been contemplating therapy. I've talked to people about it. I know people that went through it and said that there was some breakthrough things for them. So I've definitely entertained it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when the bullshit happened, you know, then at that point it was like, yeah, fuck it. Let's just go ahead and see what this is, because mm-hmm. so you can't talk to your wife about everything. Not mm-hmm. that I don't trust my wife.
Of course.
But it's just some shit that you just gotta, you're gonna need some help to work through. Yeah. And you, this is something that, you know, you just can't go to the homies and all of that stuff. And this was just like, yo, it's time. So then at that point, it was like, okay, yeah, it's time. And from there, it was like, fuck it. And I wanted to go to somebody that was the total opposite of me.
Duh.
So when I explain some of these things, it's foreign. And I know it's hard for a therapist because, you know, it's like, yeah, they see a lot of shit. But even in the first day, she was looking at me like just what I went through last year.
Mm-hmm.
Or even going to September with, you know, the issue with my nephew, on to the clincher of why I came.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, wait a minute. She was like, okay, so you find out your nephew shot himself with a gun, and then the way that you found out was just disappointing. And you was holding down your brother and your family through this process. I mm-hmm. bet. She's like, then you got your coworker quits, and then you get thrust into a leadership position,
mm-hmm.
you know, real quickly. You know, a lot of people don't understand that, you know, that's a lot to deal with too.
Mm-hmm.
Then you were having health issues and you was wondering what it could be. And they used the cancer word as a possibility, and you had to do certain tests.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yep. It's like, okay. And then you dealt with family issue here. Yep. And this was the clincher. Yep. She said, and you went through that in the whole calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. She said, yeah, I'm glad you're here. You got a lot to work through. And to be honest, I've heard a lot of people go through a lot of things, but you went through a whole gamut at one time. I'm shocked that you didn't fall off the deep end.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yo, that's why I'm here. So, yeah. No, like I said, she just systematically just breaking shit down for me. And that was the first big revelation, was the relationships thing and how I avoided it, because I don't like to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to expose myself. So quite honestly, no, and I know some of the homies listen to this pod. I'm here to tell y'all now, there's a lot of shit that y'all don't know that y'all probably heard some of on this pod. Like, mm-hmm. we went into the only child shit.
Yeah.
And that was very interesting for even her to hear. Like, you know, when you leave your cousin's house or a friend's house,
mm-hmm.
you leave all of these people, and it's like, yo, you leave them and then you go home by yourself. So that euphoria come down, and it's hard. It's like a drug. So yep. when you come down from that drug, it's like, damn. But then also, like, again, like, especially if it's like your parents get to arguing and shit. Right? Like, my mom was the person that'd get drunk and shit, and she don't want to leave. Like, she don't want to leave the party until, like, she know the party is over with. And my father be like, yo, it's time to go. So then you get in the car, you don't want to leave yourself, but mm-hmm. it's like, fuck it, let's go. And then, you know, you trying to come down from all of this fun you had to go home by yourself. And shit, and then your parents is arguing and shit. So now that shit's getting on your nerves. Then you get home. Now you by yourself. You ain't got nobody to talk about some of the shit that you want to talk to or deal with. Couldn't nobody spend the night over the crib, all of that shit. So it's like, oh man. So yeah. when we even went deeper to that, she was like, yeah, I didn't even like. We've had conversations with people that's only childs, but you know, I didn't realize the euphoria that could come from being the only child and having fun and then having to leave. But then also what might be going on at home that might affect it. And it might not even be no bad shit. No, it could be, damn, I ain't got no food in the refrigerator. It could mm-hmm. be, damn, the lights off. It could be, damn, my mother and father fighting. Or it just could be, damn, they having a good ass time and shit. They probably in the room fucking because they drunk and shit. And you by yourself watching Real Sex 28. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to do something too. Like, it could be something as simple as that.
Yeah.
You know, and then even when you get older, for me, it's like, yo, I'm 13 years older than my little brother, so we really don't have too much in common. So, and then I'm 19 years older than my sister and 21 years older than my youngest little brother.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have too much in common with them.
Right.
So especially with my youngest brother and sister, they grew up with each other. My brother is 6 years older than my little sister, 8 years older than my little brother. So he has that a little bit where he kind of grew up with them. But mm-hmm. I'm an adult by the time the last two are here. Mm-hmm. And when the oldest youngest is born, I'm growing into high school. So I'm already like,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a lot that goes into shit that you don't even realize when you get older. Like, you carry a lot of that shit with you.
Yeah.
You know, even she hit me with the PTSD thing the other week. And I was like, what the fuck you mean? She was like, yeah, you got a low level of PTSD. And it's just certain shit that's triggering to me.
Yeah.
And it brings up bad memories.
Mm-hmm.
One for which, and this is when she was like, yeah, something as simple as that. You might, yeah. So, one of my triggers sometimes is the shoulder of the expressway.
Okay.
When you hit the little dips,
okay.
You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? When you hit that shit. When I was growing up, anytime I heard that shit, I knew my father was drunk as fuck. Trying to get home. So anytime we was driving from Maywood, going home, out west, as soon as I hear that rum, I'm like, oh, this nigga drunk than a motherfucker, fam. Shit, we gotta get home. Then I got my mama in the car. Drunk. Shut up, BD. I'm gonna go home, you know. Run. Oh, this nigga didn't hit this shit again, man.
Yeah.
Slide into this motherfucking shit. When I told her that, she was like, wait a minute, what? I said, yeah, that's a trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Cause if I'm driving, I ain't even got to be drunk. If I'm sleepy or whatever, but I'm just moved and hit the shit. Boom. First off, pop's drunk. We gotta get home.
All right, make like, a note. Me. Never drive on the shoulder right, yeah. Hang in the car.
Nigga, yeah. If you nigga, I will grab the motherfucking another trigger. It was a couple of triggers that I didn't even like. I don't like drinking at home.
Okay.
Like I know I posted up the tequila ocho, which is a great tequila. But I had posted up the tequila ocho, but I rarely drink at home. And she was like, why?
Mm-hmm.
And this gonna like make you laugh, because what on the earlier podcast we was talking about, you know, the house cleaning is how your house ain't clean. So Mike, don't laugh at this, but it is funny to me now, but it's very triggering at the same time. If I hear music at Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, my first thought is somebody drunk? If I hear music playing on Saturday at 10 o'clock, like early.
Sunday at 10 o'clock.
I know it's clean. Saturday.
Saturday morning at 10 o'clock.
Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, I hear music and I smell cleaning supplies. I know somebody's cleaning.
Okay.
I think somebody's drunk.
Mm.
Here's why. My mother, on occasion, would start drinking early.
Okay.
If my father's working on a Saturday, she'll start drinking early. Okay. My father get off at 12. So whether I'm, no matter where we were staying at, hear the music 10 o'clock, hear V103 or some shit, or she got a CD playing, I know she drunk.
Mm-hmm.
I come downstairs or I come out of my room and I'm looking at her. I'm like, fuck. She drinking. And I already know it's gonna piss my father off when he get to the crib. He get off at 12, so he'd be at the crib at like 12:30. Mm-hmm. So, and knowing that, that's a trigger, because I already know my father's gonna get pissed when he come in the house and see her drunk. Then it's gonna be, man, is you drunk? I'm just cleaning, Dave. And then now they going back and forth. Now I'm like, man, I gotta hit his shit. Mm-hmm. I gotta hit him. I gotta hit him all morning and shit.
Yeah.
And yeah, it that's so that's part of the reason why I don't like drinking at the crib.
Okay.
Because I don't have too many good experiences when people are drinking at their home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. But two, even with Miriam, I'd be like, man, and I know she ain't. I'm like, man, I hope this motherfucker ain't goddamn drunk downstairs. So when I hear that,
yeah,
it takes me back to that. And when I told her that, she was like, yeah, that's a form of PTSD. And I'm like,
yeah,
what the fuck? And I think all of us have some type of triggers, some things that might happen that takes them back. It's, I have a lot of those motherfuckers. That's just two glaring ones.
Yeah.
One just as simple as the hit in the shoulder. And, oh, shit. Then another is something as simple as cleaning.
Yeah.
Cause and it don't matter what the song is, nigga, but it's one particular song. It's one particular song. If I hear my mom playing this song in the morning, I know she drunk. I don't know the name of the singer, but the name of the song is Somebody Else's Guy.
Mm-hmm.
Kick it off with the acapella. It can't let you go. You are the one. Ooh, you are the one that makes me feel so red. And she hit the somebody else's guy.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, 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 doom, 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 doom. Anytime I've heard my mama and been in the same vicinity as that song and my mama, she drunk.
Mm-hmm.
But when I hear that song, motherfucker, triggers,
yeah,
that I didn't know were triggers before I got into therapy. And that's both with my mom with the drinking shit and my father with the shoulder shit. Mm-hmm. And what does it revolves around? Both of them revolves around drinking.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't realize how much of a trigger that is, even to the point where if we are out, so say for instance, we in Maywood, because you know we be out there a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If my kids are around, like for example, the last time me and you was over my cousin's house,
mm-hmm,
I wasn't drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Trey.
Of course.
You're Trey, Liam, and Landon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to drink around them. And they see me slapped.
Yeah.
And then I got to take that drive home.
Yep.
Then if I take that drive home, if I'm drunk, vroom, vroom, pray ass in the back. Oh, shit, daddy ass drunk. Triggers.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes those triggers can lead to good, but sometimes it leads back to shit that is just like, oh, and that's part of what I am learning about myself. And, you know, the whole goal is to just to be a better me,
yeah,
at this point. And I know I talked to the wife about it, and you did ask a good question, but right now I got to do this for me. I realized in this month and a half, 2 months of therapy, that I do have a lot of triggers, that I do have a lot of things to work on, and I have to do this for me and nobody else.
Absolutely.
Because if I don't work on them, if I don't fix these triggers, I ain't gonna be good for nobody. You know?
Okay.
So, and the one thing I've learned through this too is that you can't expect somebody to stick around with you when you're dealing with your bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
That is a plus if they stay, but nobody has to be there for you for your shit.
Right.
But it's best that somebody is. And no, Miriam has definitely been holding me down as I deal with some of this crazy shit. And I can't thank her enough for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've probably cried more than I've ever had in my life in the past 3 months. I've questioned what the hell is going on with me. I've questioned why folks are around me dealing with what I'm dealing with. And, you know, she ain't wavered. So, I mean, shit, I'm happy. From that standpoint, you know, the goal is just to be a better father, better husband, better man. And I'm getting there. But I would, for any of us, especially like black guys from where we from, do it. Cause some of the shit that we think, some of the things that we think that are barriers are not. They're barrier, or let me rephrase that. Some of the things that we think are barriers to keep people out or to keep things out are holding things in you in.
Yeah.
And that's what I've learned a lot of when it comes to this piece. Like, I've really realized, like, a lot of the things that I would say as defense mechanisms are not to defend yourself from people, but defend, like, people from you, so to speak. And what I mean by that is sometimes you will say, man, I'm just from here and I do this, and you think that you're doing this to defend people from, like, defend you from people. Like, I don't want to hurt you because, you know, and you know how we are over here.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you're really trying to block people from you. And sometimes it can be people you love.
Yeah.
Or people that love you. And you're using a lot of that shit as a defense mechanism because you don't want to open up, be vulnerable, or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I've really learned in these last couple of weeks. So, I mean, I know this segment is a little bit long, but
that's okay. That's a good therapy. That was a good little mini therapy session right there, man. I was happy to listen and take in all that.
Get it out.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Appreciate that, fam. Yeah. Appreciate that.
With that being said, let's move on to. Oh, and outside of that, goals, you know, making sure that we get this platform up. I know me and Scott has talked about potential events and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens with that. But, mm-hmm. you know, really building up the platform for not just us. But it's Barber's Chair, making sure this shit work.
Yes, sir.
And we'll see what's up from there. Outside of that. Man, what are some of the, I won't say resolutions for the teams that we love, but I can tell you right now what I'm getting tired of.
What's that, babe?
This Justin Fields situation.
Yeah.
And it's not going to go nowhere anytime soon.
That's what's crazy about it, bro. You're not going to, y'all really got to deal with this until April.
Till April 25th,
to April
2024.
You have to.
That's the NFL draft.
You have to deal with all of these burning questions surrounding your organization and its future franchise quarterback or future trade bait.
I got a text. I got a text that they just sent in the barbershop group. Hold on. Let's see what they're talking about here.
We're going to get into the nitty gritty. Should do. Should keep him.
Yeah,
they should keep him. I mean, the decision has been made. I mean, to me, the decision
this
has
is
been made for
Kyle Long and Chris Long, the brothers,
you know,
former
I mean?
Bear Kyle Long.
And I guess this is there would be a mutiny there. That's my thing, Kyle. Mm. Like, he has decided. The team has decided that's our guy. Eberflus, you talk about him. A lot of times you let the team decide at the end of the season. The team has decided by playing hard and beating teams that are in the thick of it. Like, Atlanta had to win that game to go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you fucking killed them, dude. And Justin Fields made some great plays. He missed a couple throws, but, like, so did every quarter. You know what Josh Allen did yesterday? He missed 15 throws. And so the point is, when it comes to Justin Fields, the decision has been made. The only decision you have to make is who's the offensive coordinator.
Yes.
And that's a huge decision.
Any draft. Those are the decisions you have to make.
Because here's what you could be looking at next year, Kyle, if you stick with Justin Fields.
Let's go.
Marvin Harrison,
yeah,
the top tackle. You re-sign Mooney.
Or Brock Bowers. I like their tackles. Braxton Jones, Darnell Wright. I don't think you change a thing.
Or you could move one of them inside.
Yeah. You know,
like, the point is, look at that group outside and tell me, for a team that's just beaten a number of playoff teams or teams that are in contention for the playoffs that beat the Lions, you know, a team that's damn good, that beat the Vikings a couple weeks ago when the Vikings were hotter, that beat the Falcons with their season on the line. If this is your floor, Kyle, why would you move on? 6 weeks ago, it was the safe decision. You could feel it to trade Justin Fields. It was the safe decision. Now tell me what decision feels more unsafe if you're Ryan Poles or later.
That's the shit that I'm talking about, y'all.
Oh boy.
When you have the number one pick in the draft and you're not a bad team, the decision is more difficult than you think.
Absolutely. But I look at what y'all got going on, bro, is one of them good problems, fam. Honestly, I feel like what y'all have right now is a good problem because there's so many options y'all could go with. And I feel like these last few weeks have made some of the answers to the questions, like, easier, bro. I honestly feel that way. And you can even feel it from the crowd, from the fans. You know what I'm saying? We want Justin. You know, we want Justin. Then you got DJ Moore coming out again, making a statement saying, I want this guy as my quarterback. You know, y'all already said Eberflus is coming back. I feel like it doesn't make any sense to rock the boat. You have to add to the boat. Don't rock it. It's just all signs are pointing to you guys adding to the boat instead of rocking it. And I feel like the decision will be easier for Ryan Poles and the rest of the staff to just, you know, move along with either committing to trade the pick on some bang be knowing shit, trade it to the Commanders, or go straight at Marvin Harrison Jr., G. I think it's going to be one or the other. Yeah. One or the other, fam. I don't see it going any other way at this point. And here we are, week 17, you know, going into week 18. And this is just me just speaking from you know, as a you know, casual, you know, a guy that's actually a whole Justin Fields fan. But, you know, I have no issue with the Chicago Bears organization, and I'm rooting for the best for y'all. So I just see all signs pointing to the Chicago Bears going with Justin and drafting Marvin. That's where I see it now at this point. I don't see it going anywhere else. Like, last week we discussed, you know, Caleb getting drafted and possibly pulling the Eli Manning, which could possibly still happen. You never know. Who the fuck knows?
So I'm glad that you said that, Mike.
It could be possible.
Because
it is also could be possible that Caleb Williams might opt out and stay with USC. That's an option too. I mean,
he got to the 15.
He got to the 15. So I think maybe it's still up in the air. But my guess is moving along to get Marvin Harrison Jr. and committing to Justin Fields. But proceed, Bang, because you have way more insight than I do. So
yeah, so I'm glad that you said what you had said, because I don't trust Brian Baldinger. So Brian Baldinger, right? NFL analyst. He ain't slick. Here's why. So has known Caleb Williams since high school.
since high school, y'all. And he's worked with him too. He sent this tweet out. Joe Ostrowski, I think he is still with the Score or not, but I remember him from the Score. Mm-hmm. So he asked him, Baldy, what do you do with the first pick? Less than 4 months to go, time is ticking. This was after he showed a clip of when Justin gave Khalil Herbert or Rashawn Johnson, one of them, to rock, and they scored that touchdown. Mm-hmm. And he asked him, what would you do with the first pick? Brian Baldinger, who knows Caleb Williams, who's worked with him, all of that stuff, he tweets out, keep Fields and Morgan the hell out of it. Wide receiver, DOP, Monster DT, and go win the North. This is somebody who knows Caleb Williams, has a relationship with him apparently. So you would think that somebody like that would be like, yo, that's number one pick in the draft for any team would want to have that man as their quarterback. Except Chicago Bears, go trade that number one pick. Keep Justin Fields. Get some people. You guys don't know where I'm going with this. He has a relationship with Caleb. People have wondered if Caleb Williams would want to come to the Bears in the first place. They've talked about tweets. They talked about cold weather. Talked about a number of things. And your man said, keep Justin Fields. Could Brian Baldinger be saying that just to let everybody know, yeah, you should keep Justin Fields? Or is he doing that because he know that that player don't want to come to Chicago in the first place?
It could be a combination of both.
I think it's something to think about.
Yeah.
Because if I'm the number one pick, the consensus number one pick, I probably do want to pick and choose where I go to. Now, if Washington's the number one pick, I could go back home. It's like, oh, that's not a bad idea. If you like the New England Patriots, it's like, oh, or if it's another team, let's see if they can finesse it. Maybe the Raiders trade up. But you probably want to do whatever you can to let the team with the number one pick know, I don't want to be there. And for some people, it's like the tweets we saw that happened already. For some people, it could be, hey, go to the pre-draft, well, go to the combine and, you know, tell them some outlandish shit so they won't draft you. But when Brian Baldinger, an NFL analyst who's worked with you, says that you should keep the quarterback you got, to some, it might be like, yo, he trying to tell y'all Justin Fields is that dude. He worked with Caleb Williams. He know. But for people like me, I'm a little bit skeptical. Because mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, wouldn't you want your mans to be the number one pick no matter what? Don't you think your mans is better than Justin Fields? Do you think that your mans with this 7-10 win team, possibly 8 win, who's on a winning streak with a good defense that's turning great, you put a quarterback like him on the team and they could go to the playoffs? You worked with him. Don't you think that can happen? No, you want them to keep Justin Fields. No, that's funny business to me. Mm-hmm. I don't think Caleb Williams want to be in Chicago. You can't make me say anything different until April 25th, 2024. Because that's when the NFL draft comes. If the Bears have the number one pick in the draft still at that time, they got a decision to make. Keep Justin or draft Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are saying in the media, saying, yo, reset the clock. That's overrated. You know, he's better than Justin Fields.
as I told y'all on a couple of pods ago, some of the same issues that Justin got, they say Caleb got. Hold on to the ball too long, fumbles the ball. They said the NFL, I read some, I think it was in The Athletic, that said that Justin holds the ball longer than any quarterback with a number of starts in the NFL. Justin holds the ball 3.23 seconds. Caleb Williams currently in college holds it 3.13, I believe. What y'all think gonna make that any different in the NFL? When the DNs and even your D tackles are faster, your linebackers move around a lot quicker. DBs are quicker.
Yeah.
And Caleb Williams has practiced against tough defenses. He ain't practiced against no good ass defense, so he probably cooking niggas in practice. And they huff.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I would hope that they get this shit together mm-hmm. and make a choice. Don't drag it out. I would hope that they make the decision after the combine and whether the decision is to keep Fields or not, start working on the trade at the combine.
Okay.
You know, and you, I ain't saying to settle on the trade then. What I'm saying is that if at the combine, when you meet with Caleb Williams, after you see him do a little bit at the combine, because I guarantee he's not going to throw, he don't need to, he's the consensus number one pick. And man, maybe you do the private workout after the team workout. But once that's done, you should be able to make the decision of whether to keep Justin or trade him and go draft Caleb Williams. Whatever decision that is, trade Justin or trade that number one pick after his private workout with the team.
Okay.
So that should happen in March. Get rid of that shit. Get rid of something in March and figure it out. But listening to that clip, I disagree a bit. I don't think it would be a mutiny. I do think it would be a number of players who don't trust their GM.
Mm-hmm.
And I could point to the email. I could point to the article that ESPN wrote about the curious case of Justin Fields and what's going to happen next. And in that article, they talk about a number of things, but they also talk about how some of the players are like, yo, you got to remember, fam, Justin is one of us.
Mm-hmm.
But also, with Justin being one of us, you traded Roquan Smith.
Mm-hmm.
You traded Robert Quinn. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, here's the quote from a Bears veteran. It's like you get rid of him, talking about Justin. What are we doing? It's like last year when they got rid of Roquan Smith and Robert Quinn. That was our captain. We knew we were going down. The team knew once you moved on from two All-Pros that we giving up. Nothing against Caleb. But the team loves and fight for Justin. But let's say they trade him. If I'm any other good player on that team, if I'm Jalen Johnson, using him for a perfect example, what makes me think I'm not next if you're not holding down the players that you built? Robert Quinn, I'm cool with. But Roquan, you trade the best or second best interior linebacker in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting the contract extension with Jalen Johnson done. And then you got the possibility of Justin. What I read from that clip, I don't think it's going to be a mutiny. I don't think nobody is going to be like, yo, burn the flags and burn Dallas Hall down because Justin Fields is leaving the team because we traded him. They don't believe in him. And they're bringing in their guys. And we have a team that just went 7-10 after starting the season the way it did, and
or 8-9 when we beat the Packers next week. Yarr. They ain't thinking about anything else, but you're trading good people. And if you trade the quarterback of your defense, which is Roquan, and then the quarterback, your two stars, a team is, players on that team is going to wonder, am I next? Am I going to get my due? Am I going to get my money? And you traded this man for a rookie. He might not work out. Why don't we stay together as a team and build this?
Yeah.
Why are we not building these players? And that's what we're going to get. So I hope that a team like Washington come up with a deal that works for all. They get that number one pick and they get Caleb and they bring him home. They really need a star on that team. But what I also believe, but what I also hope is that the Bears do right by these players.
Okay.
That's what I hope. And I think if they do, especially if they beat Green Bay on Sunday, it shows that, like, yo, this team can be something. You know, maybe you do go get a new offensive coordinator. But I think even with that, that offensive coordinator situation is going to be limited. So you might have to stay with Getsy.
Okay.
But I think it's going to be limited for the fact of you bring Flus back. By bringing Flus back, you know, you're bringing him back because he's improved on this year. He goes 7-10, 8-9. You double the win total on the team and all that stuff. You probably can't get Harbaugh, so it's like, yo, let's go ahead and stick with him. But what if they slip next year? And I know you can't come up in there with their mind thinking about that, but what if they slip next year? If that happens, then he's probably gone. Do you think an up-and-coming offensive coordinator is going to latch himself to a possible lame duck coach? Nah. So it might, hate to say it, it might be smart to keep Getsy, to keep continuity there and to grow together as an OC and a QB.
I was just about to ask you. I was about, are you saying that's what you would do or you just couldn't?
No, I said, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just putting options out there.
Okay.
And those options would be keep Getsy, fire Getsy. If you fire Getsy, who do you replace him with? There's not going to be an up-and-coming offensive coordinator that's going to latch himself to Matt Eberflus if Eberflus is still around. Because Eberflus is closer to being fired than a contract extension. So if that's the case, and you're probably not going to get an up-and-coming offensive mind, you're going to have to look at the retreads. Which is why, if they do move on from Luke Getsy, I think the next offensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears is going to be Frank Wright.
Huh?
For those who might not know who that is, Frank Wright is the former coach of the Carolina Panthers who got fired in season. The reason why he was hired, because he has a great offensive mind. He helped build up Carson Wentz before Carson Wentz fell off. That MVP-like season that he had before he tore up his knee. And Nick Foles still won the Super Bowl. Frank Reich was the offensive coordinator. So Frank Reich was the offensive coordinator with Nick Foles as your quarterback winning the Super Bowl. Frank Reich became the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. He thought he was coming there, and Andrew Luck was going to be there.
Yeah.
And Andrew Luck was like, I ain't gonna be here. He was Andrew Luck was Magic Johnson.
Andrew Luck retiring is a very monumental moment for Some Dude Pod, because I think that was like the second episode of Some Dude Pod when we talked about Andrew Luck retiring. I always gonna remember that time. That was when Andrew Luck retired. So that was the birth of Some Dude Pod. So Shout out to
Andrew. No, might not be here.
Yeah.
So annoying.
Hey, might not be here. That's the same thing with Flus. Now, who was Frank Reich's defensive coordinator while he was with the Colts? Matt Eberflus.
Oh, the bang over there cooking. Dang.
And he's had a pretty decent history working with young quarterbacks that was drafted. Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz didn't work when they traded for him, but he was already washed by then.
Yeah.
But when he was cooking and he was healthy, Frank Reich had him. Now, I'm not advocating for this. What I'm saying is in the situation that the Bears in, it's more likely that you're going to have to get a former head coach who wants to do what they can to get themselves back in good graces, to possibly get another head coaching job, or get somebody that just don't mind being the OC for quite some time, mess around being the highest paid offensive coordinator, you know what I'm saying, in the league type shit.
Yeah.
So you got to look at the retread route. Ken Dorsey got fired, Buffalo, worked with Josh Allen. People compared Justin Fields to Josh Allen, so maybe he can work with him. Or you find somebody that, again, used to be a head coach that needs to rebuild himself. And right now, that's Frank Reich. And if your man's, who you hired as the defensive coordinator, is the head coach, I see the connection between Matt Eberflus and Frank Reich. Mm-hmm. Not saying I want it, but if they move on from Luke Getsy, I would not be surprised if that man is the offensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears in 2024. So then you definitely got to make a decision. Do you want Caleb or do you want Justin? I don't want that to happen though, y'all. But we all know it's the NFL, fam.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, man, I'm about to look out for my mans who looked out for me. Frank Reich looked out for me and made me a defensive coordinator. I'm going to look out for him while I'm the head coach. He's going to be my offensive coordinator. That's happened, y'all. When Matt Nagy got fired, where did he go?
Back home. Kansas City.
He went back as the quarterback's coach, y'all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Eric Bieniemy does not re-sign his contract. He goes over to Washington. Matt Nagy is the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. Offense don't look good as it used to. Matt Nagy got a job. Because the big homie looked out.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Reich.
Yeah.
Welcome to Chicago, fam.
That shit funny as hell.
What about your Cowboys, G?
We sold! Damn. Text me back, buddy!
Damn.
Can somebody get We Sold on the line, please? Please, please. I told you I didn't want to text him, man, because I felt like he's going through something right now, even off the grid. But somebody tell, if anybody know who We Sold is, you know, if you do know who We Sold is, you see him in the streets, tell him I said he needs to reach out to me. All right, if you know, you know. But the Dallas Cowboys, bro. I don't know. What can I say? Bang, my emotions are everywhere when it comes to this team. Like they're just all over the place, bro. Beat the Detroit Lions 20-19 on Monday Night Football, which took place on Saturday night. I put it on Facebook that was easily one of the dumbest NFL games I've watched in a really long time. That last 5 minutes of that football game was absolutely pathetic on both ends, on both sides. That game was atrocious watching, bro. And my nerves was everywhere. It was all bad, bro. And the Cowboys end up pulling out the victory. And it was just a lot of controversy, around the victory. This shit is crazy, bro. Before we even get to the controversial illegal touching penalty, I just want to say, whatever happens to this team going into the playoffs, after the playoffs, you know, if we get bounced in the first round or the second round or whatever, we really a conversation between Jerry Jones and the staff and Mike McCarthy has to be had, because again, not necessarily saying he needs to be fired, bro, but a conversation has to be had here about decision making. And obviously, he's taking over the play calling. And it's going to be a downfall for us, bro. That's going to be one of the two things that's going to be the downfall of the Dallas Cowboys. And it's already been in prior history, recent history in the playoffs. Mike McCarthy's decision-making, the play calling, clock management, all of this shit, bro, this has to be addressed, okay? If you watch the game or watch the highlights, and you seen what was taking place in the last 2 minutes of that football game, bro, why are we not discussing this more? You know what I'm saying? We're too busy focused on a penalty that should have never happened in the first place. It should have never gotten to that. But Mike McCarthy, a conversation needs to be had with upper management at the end of this season, unless you win the Super Bowl. If you don't win the Super Bowl, a conversation with Mike McCarthy has to be had about Mike McCarthy's future. But that's just my opinion, bro. Because
let's think positive, Mike.
What did I say, man? I'm not up week to week. I'm not high horsing it. You know,
I'm just saying, get some resolutions, some good resolutions, Mike.
What would you
like to see from your team in 2024 outside of winning the Super Bowl?
I would like to see good. If we lose football games, bro, because the other team on the other side is just flat out better than us, I'm okay with that, bro. But I can't year in and year out. My New Year's resolution for this team is not to watch the Dallas Cowboys give away games and do what everybody thinks that they're gonna do, and that's give it up. Like, you know what I'm saying? If you get beat, you get beat, bro. But we can't lose due to decision making, play calling, penalty. That shit has to cease. We can't be that Dallas Cowboys team anymore. I don't want to be that fan watching that team anymore. Because that has been the story of the Cowboys for the past 10 seasons, bro. Or more. Penalties, decision making, play calling, you know what I'm saying? Turnovers, all of that.
You just want a new coach. You want a new coach for 2024 is basically what
I
don't
want a new coach. Mike McCarthy's cool. I'm cool with Mike McCarthy until the last 2 minutes of the football game when we're in control of a football game. That's when I don't like Mike McCarthy, because if you're watching, Mike McCarthy is the guy who's throwing running pass plays when your team is up and all you got to do is run. Mike McCarthy's out there one making bad decisions, G, when it's crunch time, bro. And I can't watch football that way, bro. My heart ain't built for it no more. I just want to be a normal coached. I just want to be a fan of a normally coached football team, bro. You know what I'm saying? I just need it. That's what I want for that team. And as far as the penalty goes, geez, whatever, the legal touching and all of that bullshit like that, fam. Like, look, man. Decker, number 68, whatever your name is, bro. You make sure that ref acknowledges you, okay? You don't walk over there and think that he acknowledged you. You make sure he acknowledges you. And on top of that, before the play starts, the referee yells out which player is eligible. So nobody thought to stop the play before the play proceeded to say, hey, we said 68 was eligible, not 70. Nobody thought of this at all. I obviously, you can do that, correct, man? It's a two-point conversion play.
I mean, you could call a timeout.
It's a two-point conversion play, though. So there's really no play clock at this point. You can stop and say, hey, well, still, nobody decided to be like, hey, we said 68 is eligible, not 70. Nobody decided to do this. Nobody decided to call timeout again. Nothing. So, hey, what did y'all think was going to happen on Jimmy night? Y'all thought that the NFL was going to let y'all win? The script was already in already, bro. The script was in. The Cowboys was winning that game regardless of whatever happened, all right? So, hey, it is what it is. Cry about it.
A couple of weeks ago, y'all, Mike was talking about how it was good for Detroit to be winning. Now it's cry about it.
And it's still great. It's still great. They the NFC North champs. Hey, but anything, look, it's good for any football team. If you're winning, that's all great. But when you're playing against the Dallas Cowboys, it's a different story. It is what it is. Until you playing us, it's different. I could give a fuck about you. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. But like I said, cry about it. Ooh. Cry about it, Detroit. And, you know, if there was an opportunity that presented itself that we could have been seeing y'all again in the postseason, on the road, in Detroit. But we saw the Philadelphia Eagles just are like.
I texted him. I told him to hit you.
Tell we saw to hit us into some dude.
Pie. Oh, there you go. He hit you.
We saw going to therapy too, huh?
You said the Eagles need to stop paying for my therapy sessions. Damn shame, Mike. Hey, man, before we get out of here, just saw a text message.
But real quick, though. Bro, let me finish this thought real quick, and then we can move on.
Go ahead.
The point that the thought was that it was an opportunity that we could be playing the Detroit Lions on the road because the Detroit Lions do hold a playoff game going into the postseason. And the Cowboys, the chances of them winning the division – was slim to none. Well, that slim has come into play because all the Dallas Cowboys got to do this week is beat the Washington Commanders on the road, but it's the Washington Commanders. Now, could the Cowboys go in there and lay an egg? Possibly, but I expect them to win. So I just want to say congratulations in advance to your NFC East champions, the Dallas Cowboys, and we'll see whoever comes to Jerry's World in the wild card round. Proceed, bang. Before we get out of here.
So, first of all, y'all know how I feel about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And fuck him. So, before I explain the biggest thing, he ain't even with the goddamn team no more, Green Bay Packers. And he talking shit about the goddamn Bears. He was on Pat McAfee today. And he said this about the Chicago Bears Green Bay game coming up this Sunday at 3:25 Eastern Standard Time, and about his former team's chances. This is the Super Bowl for the Bears about every year since they haven't been to the playoffs much.
He said that?
This is their Super Bowl. We've won. Damn. Matt's never lost to them. What's he won? 9 in a row? That was a rhetorical question.
Damn.
It's at least 9 in a row. 2018, we got beat by them when Joe Philbin was the coach.
Damn.
Definitely 9 in a row. Is this a rivalry anymore?
Damn.
If they can't beat us, is it a rivalry?
Damn.
Every coach that gets hired in Chicago, first goal is to beat Green Bay.
Damn.
Rough the last 30 plus years. I think we got a lot of people like, okay, Brett Favre's out of here. This young kid ain't going to be worth shit. We had our run, then okay, this old guy's out of here. These young guys are going to be worth shit. Now they're like, oh, shit, Justin Love's pretty damn good. Fuck him.
Damn.
Wait, what
was this on? What did he say all of this?
He said this today on the Jimmy Kimmel show.
Damn.
I mean, not Jimmy Kimmel, excuse me, which I got something to say about that.
He was on Pat McAfee show?
It's on Pat McAfee show.
Damn.
He said this on Pat McAfee show.
Why all up in NFC North business anyway? Why? What's up with him, Joe? Like, damn, he took the gloves off. For real.
He ain't even with the team no more.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what are we doing?
Why?
He didn't have to do that. That wasn't even necessary. I can understand if he was still on the team, but he didn't have to do that. He ain't have to go there. Hey, man, go Bears, bro. Go Bears. Go Bears, man. Hey, shout out to the Packers, though. Shout out to like my famo and Wisconsin and Milwaukee. You know what I'm saying? I know they. I know, hey, man, don't do that. Hey, don't shout out to my people. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I love all y'all, bro. I love all y'all. I hope it be a good
this
game.
This is Bears Packers week. Look, this is Bears Packers week. Fuck you. If you're from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Green Bay, I have a lot of family in Milwaukee. God. Fuck them this week. I don't like them. I could give a shit about anything that's going on in their life until about 6 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Central on Sunday, no matter what happens with the game, no matter if we win or lose. Yeah. But when you have Aaron Rodgers talking to shit.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers out of pocket.
He ain't even with the team no more.
He out of line.
Fuck him, all right? Guess who else feel this way?
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
So in our I Ain't Gonna Hold You text thread, this is what Jimmy Kimmel said. Because apparently Aaron Rodgers was suggesting that Jimmy Kimmel would be named on the Epstein list. Mm-hmm. Just look that up. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Kimmel tweeted, and he said this to Aaron Rodgers: "Dear asshole, for the record, I have not met, flown, visited, or had any contact whatsoever with Epstein, nor will you find my name on any list other than the clearly phony nonsense that soft-brained wackos like yourself came seem to distinguish from reality. Your reckless words put my family in danger. Keep it up and we'll debate the facts further in court." And he edited his ass. Yeah, Aaron. Shut the fuck up.
Damn.
All right? Go on Pat McAfee and talk about football. You don't fuck up Pat McAfee's money. Because you out here being a dumb. Putting shit on by your name and by other people's name just because you want to be a dick. All right? You shooting shots at Travis Kelce because of the shot. The jab. Okay.
Yeah.
Ain't want... Fuck it. All right? And you said shit, other shit. You just talked shit about the Bears, and you ain't even on the fucking Green Bay Packers, fam. You wanted to leave. So leave all that shit behind. But I don't know nothing about, you know, if Jimmy Kimmel out there, you know what I'm saying, over there trying to get it in with Epstein and shit. But what the fuck, man? You shooting shots and shit for this man and putting his people in danger because you wanted to make jokes. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, I like Pat McAfee show, fam. I fuck with it. But sometimes you got to be responsible for the people that you bring in on the show. And I watched that part. Now, I watched that part live. And I did think it was irresponsible for them to, even though they did broke down why Aaron Rodgers fell away about Jimmy Kimmel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about, you know, basically how Jimmy Kimmel was shooting shots at him about his thoughts on the jab.
Yeah.
But this list shit is different. You know, it's a lot of people out here that's really, really, you know, a lot of people out here that's waiting to see certain people's name on this list so they can talk shit.
Mm-hmm.
And other shit that comes behind that. That's not a list to play with. So, hey, man, I understand y'all be having fun over there, but y'all gonna have to stop being responsible for y'all platform
mm-hmm.
when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, fam. Because Jimmy Kimmel and other people ain't gonna bullshit, which you better go take that ayahuasca, have you, and say that shit and chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
When it comes to Jimmy Kimmel and my Bears, Aaron Rodgers. Don't come out here out your body talking shit about Jimmy Kimmel or my Bears. That's what you did today.
Mm-hmm.
What Bears got to do with you? You ain't even playing. You're not even playing football, fam, because your Achilles snapped on the second play
oh my God.
Of the year. Your ass got tackled and your Achilles went like this. And snap, your shit said woo doo doo doo. It's like your Achilles farted, fam. And we saw it. That's you crazy. Worked yourself all the way back, and this team was losing this shit. So you ain't got nothing else better to do than spout conspiracy theories on Pat McAfee and talk shit about the Bears. Bear, y'all ain't play that no more. Leave us alone. Now you just gave the Bears, just gave them some bulletin board material, fam. Hey, this is what I'm saying. We're going to close this out. This is my message to Chicago Bears during Bears Packers week. We're trying to figure out if the team is going to bring back Justin or not. We want Jalen to get his money. The team should have won 10 games right now. Now we ain't going to make the playoffs. That Cleveland game messed us up. But besides all of that, if this is our Super Bowl, so the fuck what? We need to do whatever we can to shut somebody like Aaron Rodgers up, who not even with the team, and the fire needs to be lit right now. Look, y'all, my message to the Chicago Bears is simple. Beat Green Bay. Jordan Love, after his first game as the starter, talked shit, said some shit like Happy Father's Day. Aaron Rodgers talked shit after that. And it's the last game of the season. Y'all rallying behind the quarterback that y'all want to keep in Chicago in this uniform. And a coach who seems to be doing the same thing. This is our Super Bowl for a number of reasons. So the fuck what, Aaron Rodgers? But since Aaron Rodgers want to bring some bulletin board material up, y'all have no other thing to do on Sunday at 3:25 is to do what y'all didn't do week one. Come out there aggressive. Come out here wanting it more than Green Bay, who can go to the playoffs if they beat you. Beat the shit out of this team and keep their ass in Green Bay and shut Jordan Love and Rodgers' ass up. Beat Green Bay. This man has no business talking on y'all business. No business doing that. But he's doing that because he beat y'all for all them years and Brett Favre beat y'all for all them years. So he think it's sweet. And Jordan Love think it's sweet too. That's why he could say Happy Father's Day. That's why Aaron Rodgers could go on Pat McAfee and say the shit that he said. I got down on y'all because I didn't think that y'all came into the game realizing that this is Bears-Packers week, first game of the season, and y'all can make a statement. Y'all didn't do it that first game of the year. Do it this last game of the year. Make a statement. Show this Green Bay team that shit ain't going to be sweet no more. And show Justin Love the door and tell him to shut the fuck up. And Aaron Rodgers too. And make sure that Justin Fields is back in the Bears uniform if y'all want him back there, but having a stellar performance offensively and defensively. The pressure on them to go to the playoffs, but the pressure's on y'all to show y'all fans that y'all ain't gonna bullshit this time. Beat Green Bay. End of song.
Hey, man, y'all heard what my guy said, man. Some Dude Pod, make sure y'all rate, make sure y'all like, make sure y'all subscribe. The Barber's Chair Network is where you can find Some Dude Pod. Anyway, your favorite podcasts are available at. We are on IG at Some Dude Pod. We on Twitter at Some Dude Pod, at Mike B underscore CHR, at JR Bain. Facebook group is hashtag Some Dude Pod. Make sure you like us on Facebook at Some Dude. And man, that's it, bro. That's all I got, man. That's JR Bain, man. I'm Mike B. Happy New Year. And Bang, to answer your question, can we still say Happy New Year? I give you like a week, you know, tops, like 5 days. After January 5th, you can't say it no more. All right, that's it. No Happy New Year after January 5th. If I ain't seen you in the first 5 days, it's just a what's up? What's good with you? Hi. But yeah, that's it, man. Sub dude pod, man. Like, subscribe, all of that good stuff. Gerald Bang, Mike B. We out of here.
Beat Green Bay. Beat Green Bay. Beat Green Bay. Beat Green Bay. Don't come out like you did in the first game. You come out like this is your Super Bowl. Keep them bitch ass marks out the damn playoffs. Have them sitting right along where your ass is at. And shut Aaron Rodgers' ass up. And while you at it, somebody pet cemetery this mark and go cut his damn Achilles again.
Hilarious.
Beat Green Bay.